you're scared.
You look a little scared.
We're back. We're live.
Oh.
We're
recording. Hey. This is no reflection. Hey. So welcome back. Season 2, episode 1.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're calling
it. We're going in there. Season 2, episode 1.
Season 1, I feel like ended a little abruptly. Life happened, right?
I guess. I don't even remember when it ended.
So it ended with our last episode was we recapped my COVID experience, which was in right before summer hit.
It was a while ago. I'm going to look it up.
Because
I don't even remember when the last episode was. It was quite a bit ago.
It was a while ago. And then life happened. You know, summertime came and schedules changed and opportunities happened. And I missed it, though. Did you miss it?
Of course. It's always fun to chat.
I feel like this is our date time.
A little scheduled date.
We have our scheduled date, our scheduled recording time. And not to mention, I did have friends who had reached out to me and said, "When I'm out of episodes, you need to record some new episodes." So here we are, episode 1, season 2, the 99% Healthy Podcast. How healthy are you feeling, Bobby?
So, well, I mean, we're recording. Did we tell people? This is Sunday after Thanksgiving?
It is the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Not feeling as healthy as I did before Thanksgiving.
The Sunday before Thanksgiving. I know, right? It's funny how just a couple of days.
Okay, you're right. So the last episode was titled My COVID Journey.
Yeah.
May 8th.
May 8th. So it was right before Mother's Day. And I was just getting ready to go on a trip.
So it's been just a little over 6 months.
Yeah. Really?
Well, May's 5. We're in 11.
Let's not let that happen again.
That's been a while.
Let's not let that happen again.
It's called a hiatus.
Hiatus. Well, you know, it gives people time to catch up and reprieve and for us to maybe either simplify or expand on ideas and concepts that we have. It's so funny. In that 6 month time period, how many times did probably daily we would stop each other and say, "That's a great idea for a podcast episode."
That's a podcast episode.
Yeah. So we've got lots of hot topics.
And how many of those did you write down and save?
Quite a few. It's in a note
really?
On my phone.
You do?
Yeah.
You have them?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I have a note on my phone with podcast topic ideas, but we always love to hear from you guys too. So if something comes your way or a thought or something that we say comes to your mind and you want to hear more about it, we would be happy to expand on any topic that you throw in our direction. Right, Bobby?
Yeah, we love that feedback.
I do love feedback.
Oh, I don't even know how to say it. Like, don't forget to find us at anchor.fm/99%healthy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or you can always go to 99%healthy.com.
Oh, yes.
And leave a message there.
99%healthy.com.
Most people leave messages that way. So we are open and ready to talk about any topics you throw our way. In fact, I actually like it when people give us topic suggestions. Because we want to talk about things that people want to hear about, right? So I'm always ready and excited to do that. So we do have a fun, healthy topic lined up for today. But before we do that, I just want to recap on a couple of things that happened in our off season. Bobby, what have you been up to?
It's been a busy 6 months.
Yeah, it has.
I took a part-time job that was unpaid as a fry cook.
An unpaid at a restaurant that was only open 5 times.
A restaurant that was open for a few hours on Fridays.
So for those of you who don't know us personally or maybe don't follow us on social, Bobby and I run the concession stand for our kids' marching band, which is a huge income producer and a huge commitment. But we have so much fun doing it together. I kind of manage the front end part of it and the sales part of it. Together we do the food ordering and he manages the cook line and all this. I mean, it's a big production. This is not your concession stand where they sell chips and soft, like soft drinks. This is the real deal. I mean, it's a bistro.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just, you know, prepackaged foods and maybe throw some, you know, hot dogs in a boiling water. This is like, it's almost a short order kitchen that's got a diverse portfolio of foods. So, right. So I'm the fry cook. So we cook hand cut French fries
from a local farm
and, an assortment of other great foods. We have it's almost a mini competition for the best homemade chili to go on chili cheese fries and, fresh grill top burgers and dogs and you know, an assortment of
pulled pork sandwiches. I mean, guys, everything that we serve there is fresh. Thank you to a lot of donations. We have homemade soups and,
you know, parent volunteers that make this all happen. It's wonderful.
It's both. Quite an experience, but it does really keep us busy.
Yeah. If you out there in podcast land have any sort of, you know, volunteer stand activity, here's my sales pitch. You know, take some time and volunteer to help those folks out, because, you know, the folks that are coordinating and getting the things going, they're spending way more time and mental energy than you can imagine. And so you just stepping up to, you know, dive in there, whether it's to, you know, offer a lending hand, to serve, run a cashier, or bring a donation. So that's my sales pitch to you. Go help those folks coordinating and organizing. You will be much loved and beloved for just stepping in, signing up, and helping out. But it's a marathon.
It's true. And it takes a village. We couldn't have done it without our volunteers.
You know, a full football season of home games. We host a massive band competition that we open our concession stand for, guests and visiting bands. It's a blast. It's a ton of work, but, you know, it's an experience. So
when you had to, just recently, I heard you overheard you telling someone from work, you were telling someone a story about telling someone at work, trying to explain to them what the bistro is. And I came into the conversation halfway through, but I just laughed because your delivery was so funny. And I think you said something like, I manage a restaurant that's open five times.
Five times a season for 4 hours.
For 4 hours, five times in a 3 month period.
It's literally like 4.5 hours, literally.
Yeah.
On a Friday.
Oh, but it's so fun. We really do have a lot of fun together. So if you are one of our volunteers and you're listening, we do appreciate you so much.
Right. So here's a pro tip. Here's a pro tip for your going to the school concession event. Okay. Here's the pro tip. The pro tip is, all right, go and get your food just before halftime.
Why?
Okay. Just before halftime, there's a lull because people are a little bit more engaged in the game finally, right? The early birds have already got their food, right? There's those people that show up for the game and they have to have their food item, right? Their food thing that they love.
Well, they're there for dinner a lot of times.
A lot of times, right. Yeah. So they're going to get their dinner right away. But then there's a whole bunch of people that are like, oh, I'm going to get something later, like a snack at halftime or something. And so like, well, what's the best time to go? Well, the best time to go is just before halftime. I mean, in fact, like watch the clock, like 2 minutes before halftime, go down there and that's when you want to go, because the snack stand is prepped for the barrage of sales that is the halftime.
And everything's fresh.
And you're going to get the freshest things and the hottest stuff. And everybody's on their A game because halftime it's like the Super Bowl of concession sales.
It really is.
So there's my sales pitch for you on when to go for your snack.
Amazing. So. And people are so generous. Right. You know, we did have to increase prices a little bit this year just because of what's happening in the world. And not one person, I did not hear the whole season, not one person complained that the prices were too high. I mean, people were just loving the service and loving the community and the food, and we're just so proud. So,
and it was a great band season.
It was a fantastic band season. Our kids took first place in
their group,
in
which
their
was really
for their group.
Impressive. They performed epically, really.
Bittersweet, because we have a senior this year. So, you know, this was a lot of lasts for him this year, but it was really just a great thing to experience this year. So,
I mean, I really can't think of anything else since we've been gone that is grander than dealing with band season. Because even though we stopped recording in May, you know, and summer happened, I don't even remember summer at this point, but, you know, August is the beginning of band season for the kids.
Right.
And we're kind of like gearing up for that transition. And it only ended 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a solid 4 months.
Band only ended 2 weeks ago. So if you think about, you know, when did we usually record? Well, we usually recorded on Saturday or Sunday afternoons, and Saturdays were spoken for. And Sundays were making up for the Saturdays that were spoken for.
Or recovery days.
Recovery, really. Right. And so, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's what happens when you got a good activity with the kiddos.
You got teenagers. You know, it's so funny. I've been meeting a lot of people lately, and I have some friends who have kids that are younger. And, you know, they talk about how busy they are. And I think sometimes people have, I mean, I had this misconception that it was going to stop. And you know, it does get a little easier when they start driving themselves. But I feel like we're busier than ever with our kids' activities than we were when they were younger, you know?
Absolutely. And I think there's an ebb and flow to the kids' activities, the activities they choose to participate in. And, you know, those times, and you think you got, well, just as soon as you thought you had it figured out, and then, you know, they grow up, another 2 years passes by, and then they got another set of activities. And so anyway,
yeah, it's so great. It is great. We're very, very blessed.
And so we made it through Thanksgiving.
We did make it through Thanksgiving.
Food
this year.
Comas, food babies.
Oh, I think I still have a food baby and I'm still in a food coma. So a couple of interesting observations this year. Thanksgiving. Well, I didn't have to cook or clean, which was pleasant.
Yes, my mom hosted Thanksgiving
this
year.
Your mom hosted, and I was so thankful that she just puts out such a great
spread.
Pre-COVID
return to form.
Yes, it was great to be with the family members, and you know, we talked about this. If you hadn't listened to our episode, our Thanksgiving special episode last year, we talked about a lot of our Halloween. Oh my goodness, Thanksgiving traditions that took place that take place in both of our families, and we had our traditional ravioli dinner, which everybody looks forward to so much and enjoys. Yeah. So we also did a turkey. We did two turkeys.
We've got to talk about the turkeys.
All right, let's talk turkey.
Okay, because it might have in the past, I might have been dismissive of the turkey. Like, the turkey's good. You eat it on Thanksgiving, and then leftovers are good. And I know it's a thing. It exists, and you just eat it. But my brother-in-law made, in the 44 years that I've been around, the best turkey ever.
And how did he do it?
So I want to say he smoked it, but I don't think he used wood in the process, but he used his large green egg and slow grilled it, if you will.
Yeah, I don't understand. Okay, so this green egg thing is a new phenomenon. Like, I've seen
new
pictures of it.
Time out. We just got to prevent the haters right now.
Okay.
New to you.
New to me.
I've been around for ages.
Okay. And I've seen pictures and I understand what it is, but I don't understand how you can grill something in a smoker. Can you explain that to me?
All right. Yeah. So,
because every time we said smoked, they said, no, it's grilled. And
so the idea of smoking is that you have a primary heat source and then you add wood, and the wood chars and provides the flavor into your food.
Okay.
So wood wasn't used in this cooking. Like, it wasn't wood pellets. It wasn't.
So what was the heat source?
The heat source was charcoal.
Okay. Well, so because there was no wood, it wasn't smoked. I have to say, though, it tasted pretty smoky to me.
Correct.
So, and I'm not complaining. It was delicious.
You're getting the natural flavors out of the charcoal, which, again, is a wood charred product. But it wasn't, you know, particularly smoked, where it was in an environment where the smoke was like this massive, massive heat source. It still got, you know, smoked. I still think of it as smoked turkey. I think we even observed a smoke ring.
What's a smoke ring?
It's a layer of coloration because the smoke has permeated the outer edges.
Wow, I have a lot to research on this.
But it was so delicious and juicy. I mean, it was slow cooked at 250 degrees for several hours, and every inch of it just was like absolute flavor utopia in your mouth.
You absolutely
and
could
even
tell.
The homemade turkey gravy from it. Like, we're talking, like, take your expectations of how good turkey is and triple it, and that's how this turkey was to me.
Wow.
It's gone. Like, I ate all the leftovers.
He even ate all the leftovers, and he never eats the leftovers.
I ate all the leftovers. The first day was a whole platter with leftover trimmings of everything, like your stuffing and sweet potatoes and turkey and a biscuit. And then yesterday I made a homemade turkey sandwich in French baguette. Like, I'm telling you.
You just awesome. Like made this turkey stretch, and you made it happen. So I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I think it was delicious.
It was excellent.
I love the turkey carcass. And I got to bring home two turkey carcasses. I love to make bone broth. I make bone broth on a regular basis. If you follow me on social media, you see I post about it all the time. The health benefits of bone broth are incredible. It does so many great things with the collagen that's in it, the amino acids that are in it. It's great for your immune system. The bone broth is just one of the best things that you can ingest. And I love to make bone broth with either rotisserie chicken bones. But I especially love the flavor of turkey broth. Not everybody does. I'm really excited to use the grilled, whatever it was, turkey, because that carcass, I just picked the whole thing up and stuck it in a grocery bag and brought it home. It had apples and carrots and onions stuffed inside of it. And I kept those too, because I'm going to use those as the base of my broth. And I cannot wait to make that broth because I think it's just going to have excellent flavor.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm really excited to make the broth. So you got to experience the leftover turkey, and I can't wait to experience the benefits of the broth. So I'm really excited about that. If you've never had bone broth, guys, it's so easy to make. You can leave it simmer. Your house smells amazing while you're making it, and it tastes so good, and it's so healthy. But let's talk about something that's not very healthy on Thanksgiving, something that I was very much looking forward to this year and look forward to every year.
Well, the desserts.
And that is the desserts. So every year...
You're a dessert person.
I am a dessert person. Guys, when we would go to these band competitions, I should have had a t-shirt that said, like, where's the bake sale table? I love a bake sale.
I'm here for the bake sale.
I'm here for the bake sale. I love a bake sale. Has to be homemade, though. I'm very picky. I will not buy the store-bought, stuff that's out there that's full of chemicals and stuff. So if it's homemade, I will be purchasing it and supporting your band at your band competition. But I do love desserts. I love desserts from scratch. There's one dessert in particular I look forward to every year, and that is the Costco pumpkin pie.
Yes.
You made a special trip to Costco for that giant pumpkin pie, which
On Wednesday.
So tell us about that. Tell us about what you experienced while you were there buying that pumpkin pie. And then I'll talk about my situation.
I made a point to take an early lunch, and I got to Costco at 11 a.m., right? Because I knew it was going to be a zoo, right? Wednesday before Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
Place is going to be a zoo, no doubt about it. And so I walk in, and I got my giant oversized cart to buy one or two things. And I go to the back of the store where the pumpkin pies are. And not only am I greeted with two completely filled refrigerator cases of Costco pumpkin pies, there's a giant, like big tall guy, Costco employee.
A giant employee.
He was like
the Jolly Green Giant?
6 foot plus, like 6'3".
Okay,
six
but wait,
four.
I just need to stop you right there for one second.
Right.
I love that they put the Costco pumpkin pies in the back of the store.
Oh, yeah, get
to
walk
because you've got to walk all the way to the back of the store because you know you're going to catch something.
Oh, they made profit on me. They made profit on me because I went shopping hungry and I bought something. I had an impulse purchase. We'll talk about that later.
Something will definitely catch your eye as you're on your way to pick up the one thing that you came in for, that pumpkin pie, which everybody loves.
Right.
So continue.
Yeah, they made money on me. So anyway, but he had a pallet jack with a pallet of pumpkin pies.
How many pumpkin pies in a pallet?
There must have been close to 100.
Wow.
On the pallet, ready to go. And he's unloading them as fast as he can into the refrigerator case that is stacked probably four high, five high of pumpkin pies.
Wow. And people love that Costco pumpkin
pie. And I said to him, I was like, oh, you're pretty loaded up for the pumpkin pies. And he goes, oh, I'll do this three or four more times today.
Wow.
He goes, I got pallets in the back to keep it going. And I'm like, unbelievable.
Wait. And one more thing I need to
know. Everyone knows why the Costco pumpkin pie is, like, loved.
Why?
Because, well, it's good. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But it's also
I'm not so sure about
only
that.
$5.99.
$5.99. It's probably, like, the cheapest thing you can put on your Thanksgiving
like,
table
that's
this year.
Like, literally cost. Like,
right?
They're probably not even covering the
but
guy.
But tell us what else you figured out while you were there. What about the other pies?
Well, the other pies. Okay, so the other pies. So the apple pie. And this pie looked great. I mean.
Oh, the apple pies are beautiful.
I mean, beautiful apple pie. Like, it had the crust over the top of the apple pie.
Yeah, nice and
with
puffy.
With the little holes and the ooze of the apple.
Yeah.
It was something like $16, $17.
Yeah.
Right, for that apple pie. And then next to it was these beautiful, gigantic pecan pies. And the pecan pie was same price, $16, $17.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I get it now. You buy two pies, it costs you $22, $23, and everyone's happy. People get pies, and Costco makes money.
Yeah.
Like, there's the scam. So,
yeah. So
not scam, but it's just like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's all good.
But now, I'm personally not a pumpkin pie fan. It's not my dessert du jour. In fact, I'll talk about the cheesecake was amazing this year. But go ahead, Michelle.
So
it disappoint the audience. Just do it.
I don't know, guys. Tell me about your experience with the Costco pumpkin pie, because I remember the very first time I ever had a Costco pumpkin pie, and I just loved it. Pie for breakfast the next morning. Like, that Costco pumpkin pie, I look forward to it every year. And I can't remember if this happened last year, but I'm going to remember next year that it happened this year because I have made note of it. It did not taste the same to me. It was actually, did you ever like go eat something and you're like really looking forward to it and you have that first bite and you're like, this doesn't taste like I
expected. It just did not meet your expectations.
It didn't. And I thought, did they change the recipe? I mean, maybe they did change the recipe, but I have to tell you, this is not the first time this has happened in the past few years. But
with things you were anticipating.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
My favorite ice cream on vacation, you know, I really was like, they changed the recipe. This does not taste the same. And I went to the counter and I said, did you guys change your ice cream, the recipe of this? And they said, we've had the same recipe for 80 years, ma'am. We have not changed the recipe.
It's you. And we do know that our taste buds change.
Yep.
Our palates adjust. Yep. And, you know, it's just.
And if you want to know why, you'll have to tune in next week because we're going to talk a lot more about why that is happening. And that's just a teaser for next week.
Teaser for next week.
Yeah. It's a real thing. It's a real phenomenon. What's going on inside your body absolutely has a correlation to why things taste the way that they taste to you. And so I prefer those from scratch pumpkin pies. So I think next year we're going to have to tackle
it. So there's the tease. So there's the tease for next week. But now let's just continue.
Okay.
The debate.
The debate.
Okay.
Which debate?
Well, so remember that I was assigned as the guest of Thanksgiving to bring the Costco pumpkin pie, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, but what is your overall opinion about making food items for Thanksgiving? Are you okay with store-bought? Do you have a preference for scratch-made items? Or do you have tolerance for a hybrid? Like, what do you, like, when you're thinking about having...
Okay. Oh, we're going here.
Well, I think so. You got to have a talk about it because you know how I like cooking.
Yeah.
How do I like to cook?
Everything's from scratch.
I believe in being a scratch cooker.
There's something to be said for that. I feel like our bodies are much more tolerant of scratch cooking. For example, you make the most amazing pizza from scratch, crust and all.
Homemade dough.
And
homemade sauce.
There's no guilt associated with that at all.
I haven't made my own mozzarella yet, but that's next.
Okay. But you know I'm a huge fan of scratch cooking. Anything from scratch. You know, I just feel like it's better for our bodies. There's no additives. There's no preservatives. There's no opportunity for your body to reject something. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but I'm, as a health coach, you know, I'm a big believer in what you put into your body has a huge effect on your longevity and your overall health. So we won't go down there.
Just feel better.
You feel better.
You know.
With real ingredients.
Real ingredients.
Yep.
Right, you're putting the time in to make the thing and
so
you care about it.
So your question was, do I have a tolerance for a hybrid? You know, I think it really depends on the item.
The item.
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving is one of those holidays where I look forward to the scratch recipes, you know, the sweet potatoes from scratch, the green bean casserole from scratch, the cranberry sauce from scratch, all of that. I look forward to that.
I think cranberry sauce is one of those things where people have a small love for the cranberry sauce that comes out and is the shape of the can.
Yeah. That, I mean, I remember one year we hosted a Friendsgiving here in our house and we put it out for just for show, but nobody touched it. And we ended up throwing it away at the end of the
night. That is fake news.
No.
People loved it.
No, nobody did. It's high fructose corn syrup and it's just a chemical nightmare. So, we actually make that amazing Jell-O recipe with the fruit in it. I was just talking to a friend about this the other day. She told me her family makes it also. So, I was like, oh my gosh, you know that Jell-O recipe has celery and pineapple and it's so good. I would much prefer that, you know. So I think it depends on the actual food itself and what, you know, I think there can be it depends on the intention. Are you doing it to be lazy? Are you doing it to be because it's easy? You know, what is the intention?
Right. So
you're someone who enjoys cooking. So coming up with all of those recipes is fun for you.
True. There's a time component, right? Yeah. So there's certain limitations on how much at home scratched sides you can make, because you have, a lot of folks have limited
oven space,
right. heating space, right? So you really have to like do a lot of pre-planning to do that the best. Here's my approach. So I do think that you should try to make, you know, desserts certainly from scratch. Like the best dessert this weekend was I'd actually give the edge to your apple cake. Your apple cake, which was you made homemade from scratch, cut up the apples yourself, the whole nine yards, was one of the best years of the apple cake I've ever had. It was phenomenally delicious.
Public service announcement. I used avocado oil. Guys, swap out your canola oil or your vegetable oil that is doing you no good and use avocado oil. It's a little bit more expensive, but it is overall better for your health and it's going to make your recipes taste better. So
I've even used avocado oil in the banana bread I make.
Yeah. Right. Avocado oil is just so,
it's not bad.
It is so underrated and you really need to start using it.
I think it's a little less flavor
neutral.
It's more flavor neutral, a little bit better than olive oil. Olive oil is too flavorful to use as a substitute in baking.
Right.
Unless you're making a specific olive oil.
I've used butter in that recipe, which makes a great recipe too. But avocado oil was my secret weapon.
And so here's my alternate to scratch, a good local bakery. So that's the alternate to homemade.
You can support your local bakeries,
and
your local.
And this year's cheesecake came from a local cheesecake place that specialty is cheesecakes, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome, and I was completely full from smoked turkey, and I still thought the cheesecake was delicious.
I was at
a stomach room, and I was borrowing a little bit of the.
I was watching you.
To add some dessert to the top of the pile inside there.
I was watching you. At one point, you put your fork down. I just made myself a cup of coffee, and I didn't have a dessert plate, but I sat with everybody while they were eating dessert because I was looking forward to pie for breakfast the next day. And you had this look on your face like, I'm done. I'm going to pop. And you still had food on your plate. And I said, what's wrong? And you said, I'm so full. And I said, okay, well, give me your plate. So I did get to taste. And that's when I tasted the pumpkin pie. And I was like, this is not how I expected it to taste.
Yeah.
So
maybe I just got a bad one. Maybe I got one from an end of the batch or.
I'd be interested to know if their recipe changed.
The production house was like.
Having experienced
I'm tired.
Having experienced the. Changes in a lot of things that I used to have as my favorite foods that don't taste the same to me anymore. Ice cream, certain candy. I used to love those cowtails. Oh, they were like my favorite. I can't eat those anymore. I mean, there are certain things that I eat now that just don't do it for me the way that they used to. And I really do believe it's because I'm going to tell you why next week. Okay. So we talked about how you indulged, but let's talk about what you are doing now, Bobby. I'm so proud of you.
To recover.
A little recovery. But what is something that you, what's the thing that you did just last month, I guess it was last month,
maybe a month and a half
Six
ago.
6 weeks ago or so.
So I started going back to the gym.
Back to the gym.
Oh, well, I know back. That's.
How about you just started going to the gym?
You could look at it that way.
He started going to the gym. He never went back to the gym. Well, he never belonged to the gym in the first place.
That's not entirely true. I didn't belong to this gym.
Okay. And actually, you've been quite inspired by our kids. So our sons have started going. And, you know, it's just the local, can I say?
Yeah, sure.
Planet Fitness. I mean, Planet Fitness, generic, you know, generic, up the road, but it meets their needs. Gym. Now, I've always had a gym membership. Always. And I pay a lot more than what you pay for your gym membership.
You go for a whole higher quality of full body workout.
Yeah, I get a lot more what most might consider personal training. But that meets my needs. What you guys are experiencing, Planet Fitness, is meeting your needs. You guys like it there. You like the atmosphere. You like the energy. So, tell me a little bit more about that.
I go to the gym. It's good. I pick things up. I put them down.
What do you do?
Actually, it's not even true. I don't pick things up and put them down. I'm a machine guy.
I hate the machines.
The real gym rats are cringing right now. But I like a machine. I don't have to think about what I'm doing. The machine is essentially forcing me into form and function, and I can keep track of, you know, what I'm doing to improve my lack of muscles and, you know, lack of strength and getting some improvement by, you know, what I'll call, you know, running the machine circuit. And, but we do have to talk about the awesome, and this might not be a new thing, but it certainly was new to me, that so one of my favorite machines is the elliptical machine. I love an elliptical, right? Legs, arms, does it all together.
Boring.
Music or a podcast on my ears. You should listen to your podcast. Listen to our podcast.
Yeah, listen to our podcast.
Right? So these are all great. And then there's a bank of TVs, and I'll touch on that in a second. But so they have these new elliptical machines that I can press my Apple Watch up to the Apple Watch logo on the display. Then the machine connects to my Apple Watch, or vice versa. My Apple Watch connects to the machine, and the machine gets my heart rate through my Apple Watch, and then they track my exercise. And so I get Apple Watch credit for the exercise in my rings, and
that is technology.
And
folks,
I get the tracking of that activity.
Well, for some people, it's really important. I used to be need to close my rings person. Are you still a close your rings person?
I like the rings.
I used to be the person with the heart rate monitor. I had to burn every calorie. I'm so over that now, but I don't even wear my watch to the gym half the time anymore. But we're in different parts of our fitness journey, and that's okay.
I love that
because you are a tech guy. And so anything that can bring, anytime you can bring tech into fitness, I mean, that's pretty cool.
I do. I think that's great. And I think there's room for improvement on tracking the rest of your equipment workouts, because I haven't found an app that does a good job to make it easy for the, I'll call it the average workout person to kind of track what they're doing.
What do you mean? You mean beyond the cardio equipment?
So on the machines, right? I like to keep track of my weights so that I can monitor my progress. When I get back on a machine, I know what I did the last time, so I can see if it's time for me to try to push it up 5 pounds.
Okay.
Right? But it should be easier. You should be able to, and the machines have barcodes on them already. You should be able to just scan a machine, have it linked to an account, and be able to just type in, you know, your weights and your reps that it has it as a record, and it should be painless. It should take you 30 seconds to scan and log. And
I used to just carry a notebook around with me back in those days.
And there's some old dudes with paper cards and notebooks.
I have news for you. You're an old dude.
I know, but I'm not that old an old dude. I'm just a moderately old dude.
You're middle-aged.
So anyway,
maybe you should create an app.
I got to explore the Planet Fitness app, because it's one of those crappy, generic, works on both iPhones and iPad, iPhones and Android apps that...
It's not sophisticated enough for your needs.
It's got a lot of junk in there, but it's like three levels deep, and it's not well thought out. So Planet Fitness, if you're listening, I like your gyms, but your app is...
Somebody's got to be working on it.
It needs a little help. It needs a little help to...
I'm sure someone's working on
that. Make workout tracking a little bit more straightforward.
So tell me, what are some of the things that you like about being a gym member? So I could never not be a gym member. So like I can.
There's
list
a level
the
pros of energy.
Cons.
There's a level of energy.
Yeah.
When you get there.
Tell me about that.
So like no matter like as long as you can drag yourself to stop there on the way home, or if you're from work, or leave your house and get there, like once you step in, the environment change is like, oh, okay, I get it now. I'm here to do the workout, right? And your mindset goes from, like, you know, if you had any little tiny bit of laziness, it disappears because you're there.
Well, right? And I guess you see
like,
people
oh,
around that are...
People are doing this thing.
Yeah.
And they're working out. And they're on the machines. They're running on the treadmills. They're hitting the ellipticals. They're, you know, throwing the iron around on the hammer strength, right? And then you're like, oh, okay.
You're trying to sound like a gym guy, but...
I'm not a gym guy at all. I'm a gym
observer. What did you say? Throwing iron around.
On
the hammer strength? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I never heard that before, and I've been...
I just made it up. I mean, hammer strength is just a piece of equipment that holds weights,
hammer
and people
strength?
Are using them. So
you just made it up. Hey,
no,
you sounded,
it
sounded
I
like...
The equipment name,
that's why so. I was like, I never heard of that before, but... Yeah. Maybe I need to join Planet Fitness. So the socialization part is a huge part of it, right? Do you see people there that you know ever? Because I think half our town belongs to that gym. It's big. It's a big gym.
Yeah. I mean, I saw one of the other band moms there. Our neighbor was there.
I think one of the things people love about that place is that it's it's like open all the time. Our kids will sometimes go at 11 o'clock at night. It's always open.
Right.
So do they actually close or do they?
They do. They're, I think it's like 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I think they close on weekend evenings, type of thing. And then, you know, I think they close for some holidays. Like they think they, was it?
They were open on Thanksgiving.
Was it Thanksgiving? They closed at noon on Thanksgiving, and they reopened the next morning, I think.
Okay. So, right. I mean, it's convenient. It's big. It's sufficient. It's social. And
well, it's social, but it's antisocial. It's like everyone's got headphones on, earbuds in. And
see, that's not me. I'm the person that goes in and talks to everybody.
I don't talk to nobody when I'm working out. I you know, look at you, give you a nod, you know, the what's up, you know, that's it.
Well, dudes are different too. I'm
focused on my exercise.
I think dudes do it a little different.
I think, I don't want to generalize dudes, but I do think that, when I see a lot of the younger ones there, I would say like the, you know, college and underaged people, when they're there with friends, there's more interaction,
right?
Those type of things. Yeah. They're either doing similar routines. Oddly, I've seen, it would appears to be couples working out. I guess that's a thing, I guess. I don't know.
We don't have that in our marriage.
No.
One time I took Bobby to the gym with me. This was years ago.
Oh, you tried to kill me.
And he thought I was testing out our life insurance. Because it was no joke. I mean, and the gyms that I go to, there are not machines. They are, you know, mostly.
Well, I mean, they're like CrossFit inspired.
They're not CrossFit. Nothing against CrossFit. That's never been my jam. But
they are workout of day, you know.
Yeah.
Type of routines.
Yeah.
So. And I've talked about it before. We talked about the slosh pipe.
Oh yeah, we did talk about the slosh pipe. I forgot we did talk about that. And what episode was that?
Oh, it was ages
ago. Last season. So, we find pleasure in different types of exercise, and I think the important part is that we're doing it. And you're like me in that you need to go somewhere to do it. I mean, I could work out. We have a treadmill in the basement and we have weights in the basement and I could do it. And all through COVID, I was like, I'm going to do this. I just don't.
I did a little bit during COVID. I did some of the Apple Fitness Plus workouts because they had just given us Fitness Plus. And since we have the Apple One subscription, which gives you everything Apple, it's just there. So I tried it. I mean, they're okay. Actually, I'll tell you what, some of them were difficult because I did one of the HIIT workouts.
Oh, HIIT is tough. I do a lot of HIIT stuff. It's very effective.
That was good. And then shockingly, I think the beginner's yoga. Was it beginner's yoga?
You did yoga?
I think so.
Oh, I was playing around with the
Fitness Plus. It was, you know, trying it out.
I do yoga twice a week and I love it. And seeing that, another thing, I would rather go somewhere and pay an instructor to teach me or to instruct me than do it at home. I just feel more accountable. I put more effort into it. I'm not distracted. There's no laundry to switch or dishwasher to empty or phone stirring or any of that. So that is my accountability. And then as far as my gym goes, my gym girls know this about me. If I tell you that I'm going to be there later in the afternoon, I'm not showing up. If I don't go in the morning, it doesn't happen. I can't bring myself to work out later in the day. A couple times I have, but it's not the same. It has to happen in the morning for me as part of my routine. So anyway, there are so many benefits to joining a gym. Guys, invest in yourself. If you're not a member of a gym or a member of some kind of fitness something that's going to bring you, you know, to better health and inspire you to just be healthy, I encourage you to invest in yourself because, you know, that it's an investment in your health. And you only got one life, right? You only got one body.
That's good. Yeah. See you at the gym.
So go to the gym. Keep going to the gym. And Bobby, I can't wait to hear more about your adventures at Planet Fitness.
Definitely. Maybe we'll have a what did I do at Planet Fitness this week portion
of
next episode.
I like that. So let's talk really quick.
So what's next week? Next week we're going to talk a little bit about what's the thing you teased? Remind me what you teased.
Oh, I can't tell you. It's we're going to talk about our taste buds and our tastes what's going on
in
our bodies.
And then I'd also like to throw in we can argue over product ingredients next week.
We can argue over product ingredients. What do you mean by that?
Label reading.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yeah. Guys, today we were in the grocery store and he wanted to buy, this is just a teaser. You want to make gnocchi tonight.
Homemade gnocchi, okay. Right.
And
but I have a recipe that cheats.
Tell us what is in gnocchi in case someone doesn't know.
So a potato gnocchi is a pasta-like product that combines traditionally potato and flour to be a small little you know,
like a little ball,
a little bit of a pasta ball, but with the potato, it's much denser and much more hearty.
So you use potatoes,
and you tend to have it with, you know, thicker, heartier sauces with
it. Right. Okay. So he decided he wanted to make homemade gnocchi.
Right.
And so I have a recipe
that uses instant mashed potatoes,
which my eyeballs popped out of my head because I don't even remember the last time we ever had. Right. We've never ever in our whole marriage.
I picked up a box of brand name instant mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And you, well.
How much were they?
They were like on sale for $3.49.
$3.49. So a box, pictured a box of instant mashed potatoes. No shame if you use those, but whatever, we don't. Right. So
this is beyond a tease now. You're just talking about it.
So we're just going to talk about it.
No, because we should just pause.
I pulled it out of the cart and I looked at it and I said, what is this? And he said, I'm going to make homemade gnocchi. And I said, not with this, you're not. And I looked at the ingredients. Now the ingredient list was short, but there were some things in there that are harmful to your health.
No. All right. So this is where we're going to argue next week.
And so I put it back on the shelf and I grabbed the Bob's Red Mill potato flakes where the only ingredient was dehydrated potatoes. That's it. Okay. One ingredient. And we're going to talk about that more next week.
Great. And all those missing ingredients I'm going to add myself probably because they're nothing more than...
You can't even pronounce them, so you won't be
powder,
adding
baking
them.
Baking soda.
No.
Salt. So.
Okay.
Whatever. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. It's a point of contention, but... You know.
All right, so we're going to debate ingredients. So if you also have debated ingredients with someone else, send them in to me. Send them in to us. leave us some feedback or leave us a voice message. anchor.fm/99%healthy.
I love those voice messages when they come in, and I just get excited when we get an email. Today we're making cream of mushroom soup. So we went to the store today and got all the ingredients for that. So stay tuned on our socials. We'll be posting that and we'll give you the recipe if you're down with that. But thank you for, go ahead. Oh.
One alibi.
What's that?
For our chocolate chip cookie makers out there.
Oh, okay.
We gotta plug it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So.
I was just ready to wrap it up and here you are coming in with the chocolate chip cookies.
Chip cookie recipe. Here you go. Google it. Joshua Weissman. He's also known on TikTok as Flaky Salt.
Flaky Salt guy. Flaky Salt.
I think so. I think that's what it is. And fantastic cook, YouTuber, TikTok guy. It's an older recipe, but he has an ideal chocolate chip cookie recipe. It's wonderful.
That's the recipe you made last night.
That's the recipe I made last night. It was good. Now, I only had chocolate chips. His recipe calls for rough cut block chocolate. If you are going to buy ingredients, I recommend following it. Josh Weissman's Ideal Chocolate Chip Cookies. Google it. First YouTube video.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
It's awesome. And it's delicious. It's a melted butter with a very unique pan drop recipe. Pan drop method. And it's
I wish I knew all of this was happening. I probably would have appreciated that cookie a little bit more if I had known all of the effort. Pan drop. I mean, that's a big deal. So I wish I had known that. But... It was a really good cookie. I'm not gonna say it was like crispy on the outside, and you know what it was the best ratio I ever had of, and I know nothing about chocolate chip cookies, but it had that salty and sweet combination, you know, that flavor of salt and sweet together in every bite of the cookie. I've never experienced anything like it. So I didn't know he put all this effort and love into experimenting with this cookie, but I do highly recommend it. It was delicious. Do we have any more of those?
I may or may not have more of those hidden away somewhere where you can't find them easily.
Oh, he does that. Sometimes he'll hide things.
If I don't hide the chocolate chip cookies, they're gone in 90 minutes.
These were big cookies. These were like shareable cookies, but highly recommend. We'll put a link in the show notes. So if you want to try those cookies this holiday season,
that's all, folks.
Highly recommend.
That's all I got for you.
Thank you guys for listening this week. We are so excited to be back. So make sure you go and give us that 5-star rating at anywhere you listen to podcasts, right?
Sure.
I had somebody else the other day tell me that she found us on some podcast app that I never even heard of before. So that's really exciting. We're everywhere. So make sure you leave us that 5-star rating. We so appreciate your support and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the 99% Healthy Podcast.